there, Steve.
Norm's wife. It's part, you know, it becomes part of the.
Steve and I seem to have an arrangement. When I'm not here, he's here, and when he's here, I'm not here.
You're not sure the other one exists. You've never actually seen each other.
He says he comes to the shore. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so last week we had a little introduction. We learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives us the idea that the Megillah, Megillah Nikrait, when is the Megillah read? What's the proper answer to that? The 14th. Right, when is Purim? Purim's on the 14th. Right. The overwhelming majority of the world that are Megillah readers read on the 14th. Ah, if you live in a walled city in times of Yehoshua ben Nun, which Bizman Azeh principally means Yerushalayim, so you also read on the... You don't also read. You read on the 15th. You read on the 15th. If you live in David Kerman's apartment, you can read on both days. But the Mishnah also has this idea that the Bnei Kfarin, the villagers, the outlying villagers, could lane on the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th, depending upon the year. And as you understand, when we say they can lay on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, it's not that they have a three-day window. Depending upon how the calendar falls out, if the 14th, the day that the big city nearest to them would be laning, does not come out on a Monday or a Thursday, when they would be coming to town anyway, so then they can read on the preceding Monday or the preceding Thursday, which is ever closer, and there are a variety of permutations of the calendar which would lead them to laning either on the 11th or on the 12th or on the 13th. It doesn't mean that they have a choice. They can choose which of those 3 days is most convenient for them. Why did Chazal say that the Bnei Kfarin could have this kula, this leniency?
Rashi said because they couldn't read.
What?
Rashi said they couldn't read.
Yeah, Rashi says because they couldn't read. Read the Rashi. Ela Shekfarin, the third line.
Does
it say they can't read? I want the emails.
I guess we should.
Did Svi write down his email?
I didn't write down his email. Yeah.
No, but you're on the email. No.
I'm on the WhatsApp.
Oh, but you're not on the email. So give me your email also. Okay, anyway. So that's what we always assumed, right? That the reason that the Chachamim were Mekil with the Bnei Kfarin is because Rachmanis, they can't lay the Megillah out where they are.
Country bumpkins.
And they can't be Yotzei, so we needed to create a way for them to hear the Megillah. And last week we talked about, since it's kind of built into the system, since Purim's only anyway a Dirabonan holiday, which in some ways makes it so much more interesting. Right? And since it's already, it's a movable feast. It's not only on one set day. It's built in, it's the 14th to the 15th. So you can understand where they came up with this idea. That could also be the 11th or 13th. So the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, Minalan. Megillah Nikrate, Biyud Aleph, Minalan. The Megillah can be read on the 11th. Presumably there's an ellipsis there, the 11th, 12th, 13th. The Megillah can be read early. Minolan, what does Minolan mean?
Where we know.
How do you know? What's the source? To which the Gemara responds, Minolan?
Why do you need a source?
Why do you need a source?
Because we're not saying
Midrabon
from anywhere.
Yeah, we're talking about something that's Dirabon to begin with. right? So minolan generally means what is the biblical source. So it's.
But here it means two things. Even if the word biblical source, there could still be a textual source.
Maybe that's
why they're not saying that it comes from any source.
It's true. It's true that the Megillah does not mention the 11th, 12th, or 13th.
Right. But Chachamim weren't claiming that it did.
You're a Zalut.
I am a Zalut.
You're a Rashi Zalut?
I am. Guilty.
Okay. I think we had kids on the school today.
Could be.
That's the famous list that we're discussing here.
What?
We'll take the
draft. Oh, so take it. Yeah. So Minolan. See what you did?
When you become a guest.
See what you did? Look at all these people that are here learning because of you.
And I even came to join this.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor you came to this York.
I was here 3 weeks ago.
You heard about
2 weeks ago.
That was a different masechta.
No.
Steve, you made me a list, a WhatsApp list administrator. I had to learn how to add people to the list.
See?
Which I did.
Another thing that you're learning. Please don't stop just because I...
Megillah Nikrat Becharasar, Minolan. Minolan? Kidaboin and Lemeimar, Lakaman. Chachomim Hikilu. This is on Daf Dalit. Chachomim hikilu al hakfarim kafrim liyot maktimin liyom haknisa kedei shi sapku mayim umazon laachehem shebekrachin. Ho ho! That's not what Rashi said. The Gemara says the reason they can lain early is
because they have to get to a big city where somebody can read. They aren't able to read. They got to go to a city where somebody can read.
That's not what the Gemara says. That's what Rashi said.
No.
This is not for the benefit of the villagers. It's the benefit for the townsmen.
They're bringing in the goodies.
What?
For the
Suda? No, Labdafka for the Suda.
No, not Labdafka for the Suda. Why is it going here? What difference does it make it for?
Because the villagers would come in on Mondays and Thursdays. They would bring with them the fish and the chicken and the eggs and the water. They were the water carriers. And this was necessary for the regular functioning of the city. Perhaps you've heard of what happens when a whole city goes on strike.
So they come in every Monday and Thursday anyway.
Ah, but if I have to come in on Sunday for Purim. So this week I'll come in on Monday and I'll come back next Sunday. What? And then what will happen? And then all of the townsmen won't have food for Shabbos, they won't have water, they won't have etc. So in order to keep, it was necessary to keep the rigid Monday-Thursday schedule in order to... You remember, what was it, 2 years ago, when was the last big snow?
A really big snow.
It was a Friday, there was a snow on a Friday?
Yeah. Snow Thursday, Friday.
And they didn't bring challahs. They bring challahs and they bring newspapers on Friday.
Which is worse.
Right? And the place was, as if they don't give out the newspaper for free on the internet. But there were no challahs. So people, they had pitas and people baked and they, whatever it was, you know, like the whole town was like in a behelim. So imagine if it was, you know, all the other essential items, and you didn't have a refrigerator stocked full from before the snow. So because of that, it was necessary to keep the schedule. That's what the Gemara says on Daf Dalet. So what is the answer of the Gemara Minolan?
Bring the goodies for them.
Yeah, in other words, Minolan here doesn't mean Minolan with a capital M, in its strict sense of what is the biblical source for it. But Minolan means why? What's the svara behind the takana?
Rashi on this seems to take it one step further.
Yeah,
he says that it's not even for the regular functioning of the town.
Read the Rashi.
It says shiupnuim biyom purim laspik tzorkei seudat purim lebnei haerot.
Right.
if they would make their own Purim at home, then they wouldn't be able to bring stuff into the town for the town to have Suda.
Because it wasn't always just for Shabbat. It was also, in other words, if Purim was the beginning of, in other words, if Purim was on
Thursday.
On Tuesday or Wednesday, so people wouldn't come on Monday, so there wouldn't be market day, so people wouldn't be ready for Purim.
It's a bit of an odd notion, because you wouldn't tell the people not to go to Purim on the 14th and 15th, in order that you can go. You wouldn't give them, you wouldn't give farmers, you guys, you farmers aren't allowed to...
No, but in other words, if the halacha was, you have to read it on the 14th, and I'm sorry... Which, by the way, would make a lot of sense. Anybody that knows anything about Judaism, it would make a lot of sense. Why? Because every other mitzvah in the world has a set time. We don't say, look, Rachmanis, it's hard for you to come on Rosh Hashanah. And also, Rosh Hashanah, like, you know, what do you think? What's harder, to make 2 days of Yontif, sometimes 3 days of Yontif, or making a Purim Suda? Right? So what happens if the shuk shuts down 2 days before Rosh Hashanah? The world would be in a tizzy.
But according to this, doesn't disqualify what Rashi said. This just builds on what Rashi said. Because if what Rashi said was that they didn't know how to read well, they weren't expert enough in reading, wasn't true, then your premise that they would come in on Sunday instead, like there was, they would still they if they were like everyone else, then they would still need to they wouldn't have the whole issue wouldn't come over. Like if they could read to themselves. Then why would they not come in on Monday?
Which is
they come in Monday with Monday, every other Monday.
Because it's first. Because they're celebrating at home.
Oh, maybe because they're celebrating at home. Right? No, but it's not so... you're right. No, you're saying that these are not
so... It has to be that they still can't read to have it be relevant. Because right. if they would have it on... If they could read, then they would read in their own homes and it would be an issue. If they can't read, then you don't want them doing it the same day as the B'nai Yair. Because if they're doing the same day as B'nai Yair, B'nai Yair do it on Sunday.
Then we would cancel the market.
They'll come in on Sunday. They won't be there the day for the... you make these thought to provide the stuff. It has to be built on... It has to be built on Rashi. Otherwise,
right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right. So also, why does Rashi give these two different answers? One on the Mishnah and one on the Gemara. Well, in other words, the Gemara gives a reason which differs from Rashi on the Mishnah.
Why do we let them move it early at all? Like, how do we decide what day to let them move it early to?
Right.
So there's two questions. So why do we even give any option not to read it on the 14th? And how do we decide which day? How can it fall out that it could be one of three different days? Because one is the reason you have to you're allowed to read it early is because of the cubed issue.
Right. In other words, they have to come to town.
Right. They have to come to town because
of... Yafeh. Right. They have to come to town, and we have a need to keep the market days set.
Which days could they possibly come in?
Yafeh.
Which fits the Minhala. Because then you can say the Minhala is actually on why is it Dafka on the Chadasar? Not why did they come in at all, but why did they... Why do you say they can, you know... Why do you have the specific day of these days? Not just why they have to come in at all.
Well, wait,
isn't it a bit of a tear? What?
We've already said it's the days they come into town anyway.
Whichever the previous Monday or Thursday was.
It's a day that they come to town. We're not asking them to come on any Tuesday or Sunday or Wednesday.
Right.
Friday. We're only asking them to come. We only say you can come on Monday and Thursday, whichever of those dates that happens to be. The key seems to be Monday and Thursday. That's not a Monday.
Right, if they're not coming on Purim itself, so then they're going to come on the previous Monday or the previous Thursday, whichever is closer, which can only fall out on the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th.
Right, why can't they just bring the food, you know, with them?
They do.
So
they do on that day. Right?
Also saying that's why, in order to bring the food with them that day.
I mean, they're coming in on the market day anyways, right?
My wife always goes shopping on Thursday mornings. I'd like to think that we're really that organized. Let's say my wife always goes shopping on Thursday mornings. So for a regular week, we do one big shopping on Thursday mornings, and then you fill in, you need milk or bread or something during the week. But if in the following week there's going to be Purim, or there's going to be Hanukkah, or we have a birthday party or something unusual. So she tries to plan it so that on that Thursday before, she's going shopping, not just for Shabbos and for what we need for the rest of the week, which, by the way, having two teenagers out of the house for the first time is a much easier shopping. But for that week, she would have to do the regular shopping for Shabbos and for all the regular weekdays, plus Purim Suda, or plus Shavuos that week, or something like that. Doesn't always work out, and you sometimes have to end up going to the supermarket twice, but that's only a modern convenience. In the days of old, you went to the market on the market day, and that's what it was. Because there was no super, because there was no... So I think you're right that it has to do with the combination of the two reasons. But so why doesn't Rashi just say all of this on the Mishnah? Because Rashi on the Mishnah, you know, Rashi didn't write a commentary on the Mishnah. Who was the first person to write a commentary on the Mishnah? Don't say the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara is a commentary on the Mishnah, but that's not what we think was commentary.
The Rambam was famous.
The Rambam was the first person to write a Perush on the Mishnah as Mishnah, which is pretty remarkable because the Rambam lived 1,000 years after the Mishnah was completed, right? Almost a thousand years after the Mishnah was completed, right, when he wrote the Perush on Mishnayos. How old was the Rambam when he wrote the Perush on Mishnayos? He started when he was, I think, like 17, and he finished when he was 30, which is older than all of you. Which is younger than all of you, which means he had learned every Mishnah in Shas by the time he was 30, multiple times, which may be something that we have not all done. So it's a good thing to undertake. Anyway,
and wrote
a Perush while I was on. So the Rambam was the first to write a Perush on the Mishnah as the Mishnah, as a kind of freestanding document. Until then, everybody dealt with the Mishnah as it comes up in the Gemara, which is what Rashi is doing. It's an interesting question whether the Rambam knew about Rashi's commentary either on the Gemara or on Chumash. There is no evidence whatsoever. The Ramban, Rashi lived 1040 to 1105, and the Rambam lived 1135 to 1205. Now, there's almost exactly 100 years, born almost 100 years apart, died almost 100 years apart, with no overlap between them. But there's no evidence whatsoever that the Rambam had any awareness that there was such a person as Rashi, let alone any awareness of the two important works that Rashi wrote. But when Rashi writes his commentary on the Mishnah here, it's not precisely a commentary on the Mishnah the way that the Rambam wrote a commentary on the Mishnah, the way that many years later the Bartanura, in our time Kahati, wrote commentaries on the Mishnah. It's what you need to know in order to get going, which is why Rashi's most common phrase on any Mishnah is "V'hagemara yafarish lo." Keep your pants on. Hold on, the Gemara, you're not sure what this means? The Gemara will take that up. But sometimes he does have to explain things as he goes along. And generally he's explaining the Mishnayot for the Pshuto of the Mishnah, not according necessarily to everything the Gemara is going to say. Right? So what's the Pshat in the Mishnah? The Pshat in the Mishnah is the way that everybody understood this Mishnah the way beforehand. Go ask anybody you know, why did the Chachamim make it be that people that lived outside could lane on the 11th, 12th, or 13th? Everyone will tell you the reason that Rashi gives first, because they didn't have a lane, so they came in. Right? Nobody will tell you this idea about the water supply. Right? Because they all know the Mishnah from having learned the Mishnah at whatever point they learned the Mishnah. And when they learn the Gemara, they've already forgotten that. Right? So Rashi gives you the answer on the Mishnah, which is the kind of Pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara on Daf Dalet, which we will yet get to, which goes into this question about the water supply, that's already a kunz. The Gemara goes on. Anan hachi ka'amrinan Michdei kulhu anshei knesset hagedola tikninu. But we nevertheless are saying, what do you need a menalan for? In other words, the Chachamim made Purim. How did they make Purim? The way the Mishnah says it. The 14th and 15th, plus the 11th, 12th, and 13th for the Kfarim. What's that Muvan Me'elav? Yeah, it is. The Gemara says it is Muvan Me'elav. Why? Yeah.
Since the Megillah itself goes out of its way talking about 14 and 15.
Oh.
The wise Megillah.
Yeah, it would have been really convenient. It would have been really convenient if the Megillah had said it, but the Gemara, of course, will tell us what? That the Megillah does say it. Where?
In between the lines.
If you want to say that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were metake in the 14th and the 15th, but not the 11th, 12th, and 13th, Atu Rabbanan va'akre takanta ditakinu Anshei Knesset HaGedola? So how could it be? The Anshei Knesset HaGedola, it has to be that the original takona, when Purim was invented, in year one, after Purim, it was 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th. 14th being the main day, 15th being for the walled cities, 11th, 12th, and 13th for the villagers. How do you know that it had to be there from the beginning? Because if the Chachamim had said, Purim is the 14th, with the 15th for walled cities, how could a later Betin come and change what the Anshei Knesset HaGedola had done?
What about Shofar and Shabbat? Or
Ah, that's different. That's you could be Oker Davar Minato. That's even better. That's even a right. That's, to change what the Anshei Knesset HaGedola did would be one thing. That Chazal can uproot a Deraisa mitzvah because that's a Sheva Al Taseh, right? In other words, the Chachamim say when Purim comes on, when Rosh Hashanah comes on Shabbos, when first day Sukkot comes on Shabbos, Shev Al Taseh.
Why wouldn't it be possible for the Chachamim who came however many hundreds of years after the Anshei Knesset HaGedola to say, well, you know what, in our door, it's not possible for people to live.
Oh, slippery. I see you're already on the slippery slope. Why? Because the next line in the Gemara. What's the next line in the Gemara? V'hatznan. Ein betin yechol levatel divrei betin chavero. Ela im kein gadol mimenu b'chochmu v'min. It is. If they're metaken, you have to read it on the 14th.
But that principle guides all of halakha. But that principle doesn't necessarily mean that in a matter of you couldn't say, you know what, we've got a problem in fact, and we're not going to say, no longer read in the 14th, but we're going to say, people can't read in the 14th, you could also read earlier.
So why don't we say for people that it's inconvenient sometimes to get to shul on Rosh Hashanah, like nowadays in America, nowadays in America, it's like hard to like take off work for Rosh Hashanah. So what we're going to do is we're going to tell people, you know what, come to shul on the Sunday, but when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Monday and Tuesday, you come to shul on Sunday, we'll blow shofar for you on Sunday.
Nobody's recording, right?
What?
Nobody's recording you, right?
Recording the...
No, that statement that you just made.
Yeah, it's hello, right? Oh, well, yeah, no, you can't take it out of context.
No one's ever done that.
This has never happened before, that this many people, in 15 years, we've never had this many people at the shir at once, right? So we don't need the recording. Nobody's out there to listen to it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe that's what it is.
But you can't really compare.
It's true that that's a deraisa, but so what do we say? We say that when Chachomim make a takona, so the takona stands unless not just that that Chachomim are entitled to make up mitzvot, which we do. We say Asher Kitchon b'mitzvot avitzivanu on mitzvot derabono. But when a Chachomim make a takona, the takana can't be overwritten by a subsequent betin unless that betin is of
Godel bechokhma v'minyan. What exactly chokhma and minyan? What exactly chokhma and minyan are discussed in the Gemara, principally the Gemara in Gittin, which we may have learned once upon a time. Right? But let's say pshuto kamashmo, it means bigger, stronger. Right? Minyan might be a larger group of people that sign on to the takana. It might mean older, but in all cases, there's an idea that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were Gedolim. And after the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, of whom there were Nevi'im, the latter Nevi'im, the late end Nevi'im, the transition from the period of the Nevi'im to the period of the Chachamim was right there at the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. According to the Gemara, Mordechai Yehudi was one of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. So that it's inconceivable to override a takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. So if, now this is kind of like reverse engineering the answer. How do you know that the 11th, 12th, and 13th are part of the original takana? Because it couldn't be otherwise. Because if the original takana was the 14th and 15th, nobody could come along and say, you villagers, you don't have to do it on the 14th and 15th, you could do it on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Because that would constitute uprooting a takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. So if it couldn't have been added afterwards, because that would violate the principle of Ein Beit Din Chaver Yochol Vatel Elam Kein Gadol B'Chochma Minyan, so then it had to be in the original. What? Ah, so the obvious question is, so Hakmei Chanuk, why isn't the Megillat Esther? Why don't they just say that? Ela pshita kulu Anshei Knesset HaGedola tekinu. So it's obvious that the whole concept of the 11th, 12th, 13th, or the 14th, or the 15th, was part of the original takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Hecha remiza. So okay, bring me a pasuk. So minolan means, if it's not a pasuk, if you can't give me a verse, if you can't show me the line, read between the line. Where is it hinted at? Does it had to be in there someplace? Right? No, there's the first pasuk in Perek Tet, which is the second. I mean, the last Perek Yud is just three psukim. The only thing people remember from Perek Yud is taxes.
Boo.
It's like an interesting question for a research project. When did people start booing at the word taxes at the end of the Megillah? I don't remember doing that when you were a kid. You remember that?
Yeah.
But I remember. In America, probably people didn't like. Nobody understood what they were saying. So, but. So it was maybe only in Israel. So it is, but Perek Tet describes the institution of Purim. But it starts off Uvishne Masar Chodesh, Hu Chodesh Adar, Beshlosha Sar Yom Bo, Asher Higia Dvar Hamelech Vedatole Asot, Biom Asher Sibru Oivea Yehudim, Lishlot Bahem Venafachu, Asher Yishlotu Ayehudim, Hema Bisonehim. Nikalu haYehudim ba'areihem. The Jews all gathered up when? On the 13th. On the third, the 13th was the day of the war, right? On the 14th, they rested, but the war went on for 2 days in Shushan, so they rested on the 15th. So Omar Rav Shemin Bar Abba. What kind of name is Shemin?
He's a slick guy.
The slick guy was a fat guy. There's probably a nickname for Shimon. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Kro, Lekayem et Yemei Hapurim Ha'ele, Bizmanehem. What does Bizmanehem mean?
Whenever the right time.
Zmanim Harbe.
Zmanim Harbe. Zmanim Harbe. As opposed to, let's say, Shechianu v'kiyama Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah night, Seder night, Sukkos night,
Shechianu v'kiyamanu v'genu lazman hazeh, bidiyuk, at this time, right? Right? Well, like we say, right. Shasa nisim lavotenu bayomim ahem. What's that? What's that second last word? Bazmanaze or uvizmanaze?
Kasha has an article about that. He says actually in today we should be saying uvizman.
Oh, really? That's interesting because everybody else says. Many people think that's. Many people mistakenly say bayomim ahem. Uvazman hazeh, which is like you could say a nice little pshat. God did those miracles for those chashmonoyim way back then, and he does miracles for us today, now in our days. Right? So that's a nice drusha. I assume that Rav Kasher didn't mean it la maisa.
Well, no, I think he, I mean, it's been a while since I read the article, but I think he was saying how there's a number, there was textual support for saying uvazman hazeh, and it was legitimate to say it. There was some machloket, and since there's a machloket, then it might have made sense to say
uvizman hazeh. So that's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah says, makes a point of emphasizing that uvizman hazeh is incorrect. Because what's the meaning of the bracha? It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did miracles for our ancestors and he does miracles for us. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did miracles for our ancestors at this time, on Kof Hei Kislev. Right? On Yud Dal, on Tet Vav Nisan. Right? That's what zman hazeh is. Not in our days. It means on this date. Right? So bizmanehem, the Purim, built into the idea of Purim is that it's multiple days.
Which it zman, was.
Which it was. Zmanim harbe tiknu lahem.
But the miracle is on the Gimel, where the Jews won the war.
On your dollar.
Well, in other words,
say, but it certainly wasn't on Yud Aleph Yud Bet. So, question: would they make that bracha on Yud Aleph Yud Bet?
Yeah, well, the halamaisa they do. Halacha lamaisa they would. Halacha lamaisa we do when it's a Purim Mishulash, and you read, you do the mitzvah.
I think the Gemara was giving like the takana when Chachamim came and made a takana of having a festival, not a Yom Tov, but a festival of Purim. They didn't want to make it too hard on the people. That's what they were thinking. It sounds like the thing. Uh-huh. It's mamash built into the takana.
I mean, the fact that you were dealing with a somewhat assimilated Jewish community, so you might like speculate that that may have motivated some of those factors, but I really couldn't say that.
Well, it was also a home from, you know, like a. It came out of the people did themselves. They had the Olam Menagim was something they did themselves.
Right, right. It was a grassroots thing. That's what we talked about last week. It was a grassroots holiday that the Chachamim came and put their stamp on. Right. Not unlike the topic you're fond of discussing, the Minhagim of Yom Ha'atzmaut.
Very much like that.
1949. People said, "Gee, what are we going to do this year?"
Yeah, where people although I heard once I was here from the Chama Leibowitz, and she pointed out that, you know, the Jews, they when they had their grassroots, they did Mishloach Manot. When Mordechai and Esther give the Takana, they added the Matanot Levinim. It wasn't in there. This is a shiur she gave on Sefer Yonah, because it's similar there, where the people go and they start, you know, here Yonah comes to Nineveh and they start tearing their clothes and put. And then the king makes a decree. They have to do the same thing, but also like to do tshuva, because that wasn't the original. Originally they were just tearing their clothes. No, they were actually doing
tshuva. It's like Yom Ha'atzmaut. Like, what should we do for Yom Ha'atzmaut? We'll have a day off. You know, in America they have a day off once a month, and they make it a long weekend, and they have a sale at Macy's. And in January it's Martin Luther King, and in February it's presidents, and then you have Easter, and then you have every month it's something else. Veterans Day and Columbus Day and Memorial Day and Labor Day and 4th of July and everything. We don't have any such thing. Right? We're going to... What? You go to school on Rosh Chodesh, you go to work on Rosh Chodesh.
You wear special shirts.
Okay. But... No, but the idea, just like a day off, just chill. So Yom Ha'atzmaut should be like a day off, chill, have a Allah Eish Zeu. No. You have to have a tekis, and you have to have halil, and if you're dati lumi, you have to have a little anxiety if you said the right brand of halil, and with a bracha, without a bracha, right? Halil at night, halil during the day. Right? Hachidon atanach, you have to, right?
Hammer people over the
head. No, and it's at Purim also.
There's no Issa Malacha. It's a simple holiday. You go to shul, you hear Megillah, you give a, you know, I give you a piece of cake and a beer, and you give me a little something, and Gemara and a little money to tzedakah. But no, what do? Purim lasts, in this country, Purim lasts longer than Pesach. Right? In a few days, the kids are going to start coming home from school with tachposot.
The comedian Avi Lieberman had a routine about Shavuot like that. However, you know, you have the, you know, Pesach, you have to do a lot of work, and Sukkot, you have to do a lot of work, but Shavuot is actually just a nice holiday. You just be able to sit home. And so the Chachamim, you know, Chazal was sitting, and they said, how can we mess this up? Let's learn all night. It'll ruin the night and the day.
Shmini Atzeret. Shmini Atzeret. Kasha Lai Pridascham. Take one day off. Like, have one day off before you go back to work after all this. What do we do? Right? I mean, it's just insane. It's like a holiday made up by like a bunch of drunk frat boys. Right?
Yeah, you're not.
I don't know what, if you can take that out of context.
One second, just to get back. The only thing that we're really discussing here is that we have to be enough. There's nothing to do with current.
Correct. Correct.
If you read the Megillah, like close to firms, there's someone who was writing, you know,
the story. Right. Correct. Correct. So Omar Kral Kayim at Yemei Apurim Ha'ele, Bizmanehem, Zmanim Harbe Tiknulehem, Hai Miboile Legufe. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the source. Who says that's it? So what's the source? Where is it hidden between the lines that Purim is on any one of 11, 12, 13, 14, if any one of 5 days? Bizmanehem Zmanim Harbe, multiple days. So the Gemara says, no, maybe Bizmanehem is there to teach you something else. That can't be the source for multiple days.
14 to the 15th.
Bismanayim.
2 days. Especially because it says Kashir Kimu.
Yes. So Imkain Lemakra Zman. So then, where's the Pasuk? Bismanayim. Pasuk Lamed Aleph at the end. Kayem et yimei apurim ha'ele bizmanayem kasher kiyem aleyem Mordechai Yehudi ve'ester ha'malkah ve'kasher kimu al nafsham v'al zaram divrei atzamot v'zakatam. So, but it could have said Kayem et yimei apurim ha'ele bizman.
It's not 14 and 15,
but here we go. But it could have said, do it bizman. What's the zman? So if you live, everybody in the whole world does it on the 14th, and if you're lucky enough to live in Yerushalayim, the 15th. Right? We would have understood that. If it would have said Bizman, we wouldn't have said, oh, hold on a second, there's only one day for Purim. No, we know there's 2 days for Purim. So maybe Bizmanehem, in other words, the Gemara says, what's the hint that Purim is the 11th, 12th, and 13th also? Bizmanehem. Multiple days. So the Gemara answers, wait a second, we have multiple days, the 14th and the 15th. So he said, no, if it would have been just the 14th and 15th, it could have just said Bizman. Bizman, the 14th, and the 15th for the people to whom that's relevant. My Zman Nehem, Zmanim Tuva. Many days. Vakate Miboyle.
Tuva means many?
Yeah. Like, yeah,
okay.
Multiple. Doesn't mean good day. It means it's like zmanim harbe. Miboyele zmano shel zeh lo kizmano shel zeh. No. Maybe it means bizmanehem, the 14th and the 15th, and the time of the 14th people is the 14th, and the time of the 15th people is the 15th, and neither the twain shall meet. And it's not you have multiple choice. Your location determines your day. Imkain lemakra zmanam. Zmanam. What's the difference between zmanehem and zmanam?
Their time.
Their plural time singular.
Right.
Which would mean
or their plural times plural. Right? So zmanam. If you're really just talking about the 14th and 15th, you could have gotten away with Zmanam. Zmanehem, multiple groups, multiple times, implies more than two. Although, in fact, look, it's a problem with language, at least with English and Hebrew.
Are there other languages, David, where this is not true? As English and Hebrew are languages where you have two options, singular or plural. Singular is one, plural is everything from two to infinity. Wouldn't it be more convenient to have a language where you could indicate singular, two, three, and everything else? There are languages like that, but English and Hebrew happen not to be among them. So you're stuck with this problem that zmanam or zmanehem can mean two, meaning 14th and 15th, or it can mean 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. So each side of this argument, looking for a source or trying to reject the source, can say no, plural, one and two. Or plural can be three and more. But zmanam would certainly be closer to, if you really wanted to indicate that it's just the 14th and 15th.
You still can do it, because it's still 2 days. It doesn't help. If you want to say Zman is singular, then it can only be referring to 1 day. It couldn't be referring to 2 days. Once you say Zman is referring to 2 days, then what's it going to be 2 and 5?
Right, so but in other words, Zmanam is, the implication is that it's less than Zmanehem. I mean, the Gemara is just kind of...
Grasping.
Well, I would say speculating, right?
Language.
Imkein lemakra zmana, my zmanehem. So since it doesn't say zmanam, it says zmanehem. Shemat mina, kulhu. All of them. 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Ema zmanim tuva. Say it's talking about a lot of different days. Zmanehem dumya de zmanam. No. It's all the same thing. It's David's position. Plural is plural. Right? In other words, you can't make this diuk between zmanam and zmanehem. Once it's plural, plural can mean two or above. So you can't be medayik from this that it's...
Five, three other days.
Right. No, you can't be medayik either way. That it means only the 14th and 15th. Or all these days that aren't mentioned explicitly but are alluded to. Zmanehem dumya dizmanam, mazmanam tre, just like zmanam means two, af zmanehem tre. Zmanehem can also mean just two. And therefore, trying to look between the lines for the hints, for the source, for 11, 12, and 13th, is not going to lead you anywhere here. Okay, so wait a second. So maybe it's telling you, okay, there are 2 days of Purim. But who said those? Let's say there was a word. Let's say language had a word to say zman, fill in whatever the siumet of the word is. Zman tu.
Zmanayim.
Zmanayim. 2 days. What if it just said yomayim? Yomayim is a word. Yomayim is a word. You know, there are certain exceptions to the rule that I just said, where plural is always two or more. No. Yomayim means plural of days. Two. You know, you have yom, you have yomayim, and you have yamim. Yamim could be 3 days, it could be 3,000 days. So what if it had said yomayim? Yomayim is a modern... It's in Torah. So it's interesting the Gemara doesn't ask that question. That would be a good speculation. Right? If it had said yomayim, so then if zmanam or zmanehem is synonymous with yomayim. But who says? Maybe it says yomayim. Maybe zmanam or zmanehem means yomayim, but not the 14th and 15th. Because we don't need to tell you the 14th and 15th. Why? Because it's already a different pasuk. We know the dates of Purim and Shushan Purim. So maybe yomayim, meaning read zmanehem as yomayim, is there to tell you two different days. Which days? The 12th and the 13th.
The
12th and the 13th. Wait, I'm sorry, I lost my place.
You're right.
three, about four lines above the batter line.
Zmana Trey, Af Zmanayim Trey, the Ema Treysar O Tleysar, the 12th and the 13th. Kida Omar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Yud Gimel Zman Kihilala Kol, he. Velot Sarech Lerabuye. The 13th was the Zman Kihilala Kol. That's the posuk I read before. Posuk Bet. Nikahalu HaYehudim on the 13th. Nikahalu HaYehudim Bareim B'chol Medinot HaMelech HaChashverosh L'shloach Yabim V'akshe Ra'atam. The 13th, all the Jews gathered up wherever they were in order to fight back against the enemies. And, oh boy, did they win. Except in Shushan, where it took them an extra day. So since the 13th was the Yom Kehilah, Nikahalu HaYehudim, so it's obvious that that day is Shayach to Purim. You don't need a special limud to tell you that the 13th is a Purim-related day.
So that it says Kasher Kimu Otam. I mean, you're saying that Kasher Kimu Otam...
No, but we know already from reverse engineering the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah that there are extra days. So what is the source of these extra days? So we don't need a limud for if it's going to be an extra day. So obviously the 13th is shayach.
Okay.
Right? So if the 13th is shayach, and the 14th and 15th you know from explicit psukim, and you have a word that's a code word for yomayim, what are those yomayim? Don't assume those yomayim are 14th and 15th, which you don't need a limud for because there's a pasuk for. What's the code word zmanehem meaning yomayim mean?
16th,
17th. No, can't be the 16th and 17th. That's the next question. The 11th and 12th. Ve'ema shitzar v'shivtar. Maybe the 16th and 17th. Who said 15th is the deadline? Ve'lo yavor. The posuk says that you can't go beyond. Right, the Mishnah had said, right, that you can do it earlier, but you can't do it later. Ketiv. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Omar Kro. Wait, what time is it? Okay, Kayamim Asher Nachu Bahem. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani had a different source. Wait, so Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan source between the lines for the eleventh and twelfth, and parentheses the 13th is Yemei Purim, Bizmanehem. But Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani says it's Kayamim Asher Nachu Bahem Ayudim. Yamim, Kayamim. Those days, the 2 days, which days? The 14th and 15th? Like other days. Lirabot, Yud Aleph Yud Bet. Ve'ema Tresar of Tleisar. Reb Shem Bar Yitzchak, Shlosh Esrei. Zman kala kila lakoli velo tzarech l'rabue. So it's the same limud, right? In other words, if you have two free tickets, right, to add to any day, so you could add 2 days to Purim. You don't need it for the 13th because the 13th is there anyway, and you can't do it for the 16th and 17th because they're out of bounds. So what's it going to be? It's going to be 11th and 12th. This idea of the yom kila, of zman kila lakol. That the 13th is Pshita. So Rashi says, here, Zman Kehila. Where is it? Here. You have to understand that after 9 o'clock, my eyes stop working, so it's hard for me to... Here, Zman Kehila L'cholhi. Hakol Nikalu Hinakem Me'oivehem Bein B'Shushan Bein B'Shar Mikomot. So even though the war went on an extra day in Shushan, it started on the same day in all places. Kemoshe katuv b'sefer hilchach lo tzarich kra l'rabu yishei ro'oi l'kriya d'ikar hanes bo haya. The 13th is more Purim than Purim. I mean, it happens the 13th is not this year, but it happens the 13th is
Tanit
Esther, which is not the day that Esther fasts in the Megillah. You know, in the Megillah, there's all these feasts and all these fasts. So the feasts are not on Ar Su'udat Purim. even though our Sudat Purim is somehow satirically modeled on the Suda of Achashverosh. And our fasts, the Tanit Esther, which is generally on the 13th, except this year the 13th comes out on Shabbat, so it's Mukdam to which day?
The
11th. The 11th. Right. The Tanit Esther is not actually on the day that Esther tells Mordechai, fast for me and I'm going to we'll go and I'll in late kadat
it was 3 days, wasn't that 3 days?
It was 3 days, but it was on the it was on the dates of Pesach, right? Me your day in late kazot kadat lamachut. So Rashi says that since the main nes is on the 13th, so it's pshita that the 13th is shayach for some Purim commemoration.
Similar to Hanukkah, in my way, and then the nace, first, certainly the definition of the nace is actually the military victory, then the main nace of Hanukkah also happened before Kafei Kislev, and we celebrate right after.
And we celebrate the oil.
It depends on what you're celebrating.
According to, at least, the Rambam also talks about the military victory, but here Rashi says the military victory is the Ikar of Purim, so.
That clock's a minute fast.
You could assume the military victory is the main Ikar of Purim.
The Ran, right, except what are we commemorating on Purim? We're commemorating what they did. We're celebrating on the day of their celebration, not on the day of their victory, right? So in that way, it's odd.
I'm saying both.
The Ran says the exact opposite. The Ran says the opposite of Rashi. The Ran says the 11th and 12th were regular days, and the fact that the 13th was the day of the war, or the first day of the two-day war for Shushan, means that it's not matim to have Yontif on that day, to celebrate on the day that they were fighting, right? So therefore, the limud that adding 2 days is, in other words, so if you're going to add 2 days. You can't add it on the 13th. You have to add it on the 11th and 12th. So how is the 13th a day? So once you have the 11th and 12th, and you have the 14th and 15th, the 13th gets included as part of the retzef of the days. But it's the exact opposite of Rashi. No, that's what the Ran says. It's the exact opposite of Rashi. As Rashi says, the 13th is this, you know, there's the 13th really is Purim. So obviously you can read on that day. Right? But the Ran says, no. The day of the Milchama is not a day to celebrate, right? The day after the Milchama is the day to celebrate, right? So what if you're going to add 2 days, you can't add it to the 13th. You have to add it to the 11th and 12th. So you have 11th and 12th, the 14th and 15th. And then you just combine them all together, and the 13th gets included because it gets dragged along, even though in principle on its own, it shouldn't be. So the Rashi and the Ran see exactly opposite facts of the case. We'll continue next week. Yashar Koach to you all.